Hi, I'm Tyra G, your host of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to our virtual global gathering of phenomenal women and those of you who love them. You, mothers, daughters, grand and great grandmothers, fearsome and generous, humble and honest, in pursuit of new possibilities and purpose. We dig deep, but we come up strong. For those of you joining us for the first time, each month we explore a new theme inspired by you. Yep, by you. Together we bravely walk into places where tradition has taught us there are things that we just don't talk about. But not at this table. And no matter how hard judgment knocks, it will not get in. Beloved ladies, here we live beyond the wreckage. Every week we meet here for 1 hour. To experience, to educate, to encourage, to empower each other. We share some aha moments and stories that have been left in our pockets for too long. Every week we start right where we are. Now, many of our voices will speak light into darkness, but there is no insignificant person around this table. Each show has three segments, the beginning, the middle, and the end. The first segment is when I walk you in and set the table for the show. The middle segment is our show Sister Talk centerpiece, where one of you phenomenal, generous, and fearless women will join me in the interview seat. I named the last segment, It's Not Over. I fill a virtual doggy bag with thoughts of empowerment and encouragement for you to take with. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device. And we are webcast worldwide on the internet at www.radiofairfax.org, 8 p.m. every Saturday evening, Eastern Standard Time. Now, don't worry, should you miss us, you can catch our podcast at www.franklyspeakingwithtyrag.com. And if you just want to reach out and talk to me, that's easy too. My email is tyra@tyragarlington.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks so much for tuning in. I have to tell you, I'm still praising the composer and performer of our theme song, Mr. Courtney Nero, my favorite saxophone player and friend. Now, Courtney thought it would be appropriate that a show called Frankly Speaking with Tyra G ought to have a theme song named I'm Listening, and this is it. It always makes me feel like I want to dance. But thank you, Courtney. The last 2 months, we've been getting to know one another with our theme, This Is Us. We have shared successes and struggles. We've laughed and we've cried. We've dug deep and we've come up strong. But now we turn to our sustainability, inside and out. How do we keep on keeping on? And this month, we're introducing a new, exciting, and timely topic. It crosses generations and cultures. The issue of women's health is dynamic and diverse and interdependent. We're going to discuss health through the lens, many lens actually, to include physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, and financial. After a break, we'll begin our journey. We will ask our weekly question, what if? Followed by an inventory to design to help you discover information about yourself that the mirror won't tell you. Do you know when you look in the mirror, there are things that it will not tell you? The mirror cannot see your soul. It cannot see what drives you, what holds you back. It doesn't know and can't talk about your attitudes and your attributes. It can't really reflect your character. So that's what we want to do today. We want to talk about the things that the mirror won't tell you. So we're going to go through an inventory of questions that comes from the wisdom treasure chest of our now good friend, Aljana Van Sant, and her book, Until Today. Are you ready? This is our what if question. What if you knew your life would work out for you when you realize every decision you make is based on everything that's happened in your life? Think about that now. We're thinking about a decision journey based on everything that's happened in your life. Now, that's really big. Here's some questions I want you to pay attention to. You can even check them off in your mind when you find out there's something that you're not doing. Are you paying attention? Are you aware of what you do? Are you paying attention to the results you get? Are you paying attention to how you feel about the results you get? When was the last time you took stock of what was going on around you? Are you paying attention to what you do, or are you just doing what comes naturally, habitually? Are you paying attention to what you say, what you mean, and to what you expect once you've spoken your mind? Are you paying attention to how you feel when you wake up? I love that one. What you expect to feel as you move through your day, are you paying attention to that? Are you paying attention to what happens based on what you expect? Are you aware of how what you expect makes you feel, or how it motivates what you do? Are you aware of how much you smile any given day, or how long you've been holding back the tears? Are you paying attention to what and to whom you give your attention? What do you expect to get in return? Are you paying attention to what living feels like to you? Until today, you may not have been paying attention to the details or the moment-by-moment experience of your life. So here's the challenge. Just for today, pay very close attention to what you're doing and how you were feeling. Then you will know to what and to whom you have been giving your attention. Then you will have all you need that is required to make necessary changes. Here's your affirmation. Ready? Today, I am devoted to paying attention to every little detail of my life. Repeat after me. Today, I am devoted to paying attention to every little detail of my life. Do you understand how much energy that's going to take? Because I actually did this. It takes a lot of energy, but it's worth it, because when it becomes a habit to attend to what you're doing, you can move forward. Did you notice I didn't use the word health once? Can you find any relationship between these questions and your physical, emotional, spiritual, or financial health? Well, our guest today is joining us from Ontario, Canada, and has an integrated approach to health as well. Ms. Suzanne Hart, the Mindset Mastery, look at me, the Mindset Mastery Mentor. Hello, Suzanne, and welcome.
Hi, Tyra. How are you?
I am so blessed. I really am that we made this connection. What's the weather like in Canada?
We've had a beautiful sunny day, and at this time of the year, I totally appreciate every sunny day, because you know, fall and soon winter is going to be upon us, and I absolutely love the summer.
So, oh, listen,
a beautiful
to you.
Day here.
Do you ski?
Oh goodness, no. No.
Okay. All right. We're going to move right along. Okay.
I'm an island gal, so I don't.
Oh, that's right. Girl. Okay. Okay. I get it. I don't ski either, and I'm not an island girl. I just don't ski. Would you take a few minutes to introduce yourself to our virtual audience? I always think this is better than me reading a bio, because they can have a better sense of your voice and your words.
Absolutely. Well, as you said, my name is Suzanne Hart, and I hail from a small city called Brockville, or Thousand Islands, Ontario, Canada. And I'm an entrepreneur, so I get the privilege of working from the comfort of my home. So in the profession of direct sales or network marketing, which is my specific area, my family moved to Canada when I was 5 years old from the island of Trinidad. And my mother brought us here with the expressed intention that we would get a better education. And she thought that by coming to a totally foreign country, that she would provide more. So with $20 in her pocket and a big dream, my mom landed here, created a life for herself, and then came back to the island of Trinidad and brought her two daughters.
Now, Suzanne, I want to stop you. I want you to say that sentence again. For how much in her pocket, she did what, and then what?
Yeah, with a lovely $20 in her pocket and a big dream, she arrived in Canada. you know, with, as part of a dance troupe, and she was supposed to be there for a short period of time, decided to make it a, this is where she was going to start her new life. And a year and a half later, returned to the island of Trinidad to pick up her two girls and bring us to Canada, where we were to start a new life.
That is amazing.
It is. You know, one of the things that you asked me, who is my hero? My mother is probably my number one hero because I admire her courage, her vision, and her willingness to just risk, right? And and I've watched her. I've watched her do it throughout my life. And I really think that, you know, as a result, my responsibility is to create a bigger, bolder life than where she left off.
That's amazing.
And she's done, so she's been an exemplary role model for what's possible and demonstrating to me that no matter, you know, what's going on in your life, if you hold a vision in your forefront, anything is possible.
Absolutely.
So, her, so true. So her vision was for her two daughters to get a higher education. So my sister and I, of course, did high school here. We went on to college, and in Canada, we also have university. So I have 7 years of post-secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
Background is family, individual, and group counseling. I'm a crisis counselor by training.
Mm-hmm.
So worked in what in the U.S. you would call child welfare and child protection services when I started my career. And then went on into women's services and managed a women's shelter, a women's drop-in, and thoroughly loved what I did. I loved, you know, being able to help people shift and change and start take charge of our charge of their life. And but at some point during my profession, you know, one was I got tired, and two, I was looking for something different. And that's how I ended up in direct sales and network marketing. And as I got into network marketing, got into the whole aspect of business and entrepreneurship, and got totally engaged in that, in the possibility of creating things and things for myself, creating products and services, and really just learning what I could do with my own intellectual property, my own ideas, and bringing that to the world. So still doing network marketing in the area of health and wellness. And then also, you know, just taking my background in social services and putting the two together. And so my focus has really been this interplay between health and wealth and health and an abundance life and health and great relationships, and really looking at how our physical fitness impacts our mental fitness, which impacts our ability to lead a life that we design.
I truly
believe that there are habits that are cultivated as we take care of our nutrition, our exercise, and our overall physical well-being, which impacts our emotional well-being, which impacts our emotional and mental mastery, which then in turn impacts our results in all sorts of different areas of our life. So,
do you know what you just, I'm sitting here and I'm just amazed. My mouth is hanging open. I'm glad this isn't TV. Because what, no, I'm serious, because what you, when I started with my what if question, and your decisions are based on everything that's happened in your life, and you just took us through a journey of your evolution or your transformation, I think is a better word, transformation. But when you said, I went from helping others, and I, you kind of made yourself a product, but the processes were still the same. Your gifts that you gave when in child protection and with the women, you're still giving those gifts.
Absolutely, in just a different, in a very different way.
Yes,
and
yes,
taking and taking those skills and using them in a very different way. And you know, we talk about the many ways that we can reinvent ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty is, no matter where we are, we have skills and experiences that are transferable. And often it's just looking at how can I transfer these skills into a new area and still win. Right?
And still win, yes.
Of course. Of course. You know, my mother tells me that we start our life so many times during this whole journey called life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's never be afraid to start over, never be afraid to start a new chapter, because every chapter builds on the lessons, experience, and growth of the past chapter, right? So
yeah.
I'm in a new chapter, a new season.
And you know what? I'm glad you wrote a book because I've written a whole page of notes, okay? And so, like, never be afraid to start over. I think I'm going to add that to my doggy bag of encouragement that I do at the end of the show. I love that. And I just interrupted you again. Please forgive me. Go ahead.
Oh, no, absolutely. I totally agree. I love the doggy bag, and I think there's so many lessons and little jewels that we pick up along our way that when shared can totally, I mean, they totally expand our own lives, but they touch so many other people. And you know, one of the interesting things is I think most people underestimate the power of their lessons, the power of their intellect, the power of their unique view on the world, and how that view is yours, and you're the only one that can bring that to the world, the marketplace, and share it, and there's power in that, right?
You know, Suzanne, what you just said, I heard someone talking, and I made a note. You know, when you're a writer, you got post-its all over your house, right? And someone said, you should never expect your success to be a clone of what someone else is doing. And you were just talking about your own gifts. You've got to learn how to develop those and trust those to go forward. And that's so significant because I see people trying to copy Oprah, trying to copy, well, anyway, let's go forward. But
it's true. It's true. And you know, Oprah's business model is duplicatable in that she has a talk show.
Yes.
And she's on TV and all those things. That model is very duplicatable. But Oprah's not.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's what we want to understand, is there's so many business models that we can step into. But what makes you win is what's special and unique about you. And I think oftentimes we don't trust that or we don't look for it.
And I think that's the word, look for it. Yes, because many of us don't
have
a clue.
Absolutely. I believe it's to trust that every single one of us has a unique gift. And, you know, when I talk, I always say the world is waiting.
Mm.
The world is waiting for you. The world is waiting for your unique gift because only you or I can bring my own message.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting.
Mm-hmm. For those of you listening, I heard Suzanne on a very large stage at an international conference some months ago. And I made up in my mind, as I often do, I want to resonate with her in reality rather than sitting in this chair. So I approached her at one point because she told a story. Now, Suzanne, you know this is an intergenerational show as well as a multicultural show. Suzanne told a story about herself. And I guess I won't say it's the beginning of your journey, but there was a pivotal point when she was in high school. Was it high school when you were running track? When you met your coach?
Yes, it was.
Yes. Would you mind sharing that story? Because I think any young person deserves to hear this.
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm a natural athlete, and track and field is one of the areas that I excelled in. And so first or second year in high school, and a group of us are at a track meet, and not knowing that there's an actual scout there. And he's looking for some new runners.
Mm-hmm.
And he approaches myself and three other girls from my high school. And he asked this curious question. He asked us if we were interested in becoming exceptional runners. And you know, I'm like 13 years old. Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
But then he asked the question again. He goes, no, are you ready to become the best of the best?
Mm.
And we're looking at him wide-eyed like, yes. But what struck me was he asked the question again, are you ready to become like top elite athletes and runners? And we're like excited, and I'm thinking, well, of course. And then he said something that has always stayed with me. He said, if you want to become an elite athlete, the best of the best, you have to begin to think like them, embody their habits, do what they do, and I'm going to treat you like that type of athlete. So we began to run with him, and he treated us like elite athletes. And I remember him really telling us what we were and were not allowed to eat. You know, so McDonald's was out, and I was 13, not a happy girl. you know, fast food was out. But he taught us that we had to fuel our bodies. Mm-hmm. And then I remember that he would make us get up and run in the morning. So my mother would wake me up for my morning run. Mm-hmm. Did not like that at all. You know, long distance was not my thing, but I would go running. And then we'd have practice later on in the afternoon, in the summer. And if it was winter, I'd go to practice after my basketball practice, if you could imagine.
I can't.
And he would continue to do these things. But a few things stuck with me. I remember getting to practice one day, and he drove us to the bottom of this mountain, it appeared. And he said we were going to run this mountain for practice. And we all looked at him like he literally had two heads. And we were thinking, there's no way we're going to be able to do this. But he said, okay, let's go. And we took off running. And, you know, in like pushing through, giving it everything we've got, we got up at the top of this mountain, and we were excited and exhausted, but we did it. And then another practice, he took us to this cow field, and he told us that we were going to run through the, we were going to do our drills in this field because it would have us get our knees up and it would extend our stride. And again, we looked at him like, this man is, I don't even understand. And so, but we did that. Mm-hmm. And then he would have us do weights. And then one day we got to the practice. It was one of those scorching hot days. And we thought, there's no way he's going to have us practice. Mm-hmm. And he hosed down the track and told us to get into our blocks. We were going to practice starts that day. I was like, are you kidding me? And he drilled us and drilled us. And a lot of our practices were not actually on the track. And we were training for track and field. Mm-hmm. What was interesting was the next season when he put us back on the track, our speed, technique, and skills had increased so much. But I remember our first race, while the other teams were passing the baton on the corner, we were already crossing the finish line. That is how much faster we had become. And four little girls from a little town in the middle of nowhere, from one small high school, that year became the 4x1 indoor Canadian record holders.
Oh, my goodness.
And I tell you, and what's beautiful about that story, and, you know, you talk about role models. Mm-hmm. This is a role model. But what's beautiful about that story is that I thought he was developing an athlete. I thought he was developing great runners. Mm-hmm. He was developing successful people.
Say right? that again, Suzanne.
He was developing successful people. He was actually teaching us the habits, behaviors, and attitudes of people that were highly successful. So I tell people, you know, someone who's successful has a high level of integrity. They do what they say they're going to do, even in the face of challenges. And that's what he taught us. You know, he taught us that, you know, when you hit a wall, you've got to be resilient. And so he taught us how to be resilient. You know, when you're running up that mountain, I remember thinking, I have nothing left in me. Mm. But, and that is how, you know, when I face life today, that resiliency that I learned when I was running, I tap into it. You know, he taught us to be flexible. Mm-hmm. He taught us to look at things differently, you know, running through cow fields rather than on the track. We're still running, but it's a different terrain.
Yes.
And so all those places and things that he did with us, he was really having us develop the habits of highly successful people. And I didn't know. I was 13, 14, 15, 16, and that's the length of time I ran with him. But in that length of time, he developed these world-class habits in me that have me win today. And if I look back at all my coaches, and I've had some great coaches as an athlete, the coaches that stick with me, the coaches that I think back fondly of, were the toughest coaches. Mm-hmm. But they demanded more of me, and they demanded that I had exceptional habits, that I had an exceptional attitude, that I had a winning spirit, that, you know, they demanded, you know, of me things I didn't know I had in me until they were pulling it out of me. And those are the same things that I use today. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm very fascinated with this connection between the physical being and the mental being, the physical being and the spiritual being, the physical being and how we do our finances, our relationships. I think it's very fascinating. But it comes back to that story, really.
And I'm thinking, as I listen to you, so often you referenced, or I'm paraphrasing, of course, he pulled out of us. I had to reach down inside. It came from within, from within, from within. And most people, I think, don't automatically think that we're driven from the stuff that's within, you know. And we can sit and chat with one another intellectually, and head to head is wonderful. I love smart people. But when we can get down to heart and spirit to spirit, I think that's the space of connection. And that's the dream that I have for this radio show, that by modeling a behavior, by being authentic, by being vulnerable, I can give somehow permission to the listeners when they have their conversations, when they talk to me or others, they can feel that's okay. That's what you need. That's the power inside of us. And
absolutely.
I see it as an anointing, you know?
It is truly. It's true. And you know, what's interesting about what you're saying, Tyra, is that, you know, I truly believe that everything I need, you need to be successful is already in us.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's the challenges, the things that grow us, the things that stretch us, that have us actually reach inside of them and pull it out.
Yes.
It's like we ignite it, right?
Yes.
And what's, you know, and if I use a reference from sports, you know, when a player's playing, they say that a player is in the zone.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
He's like you. He or she is in that zone. And what's beautiful about that analogy, if you think about it, mm-hmm. the zone, in my opinion, is this place where your head, all the learnings that you have, and your heart, that intuitive self meet.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so when you want to be in the zone of your life, it's like you continuously grow and develop and learn and read and expand your skills. But it is that intuitive self, that knowing, that heart space, that creates this ease and flow that is cultivated by our own, this thing I call our mastery, right?
Yes.
It's when I know that I know that I know, and I trust myself, and I walk in faith, and I step out, and I risk, because I know that inside me, the circumstance will activate my brilliance.
There you go.
And answers will happen. So I can take that leap of faith, and I will sprout wings before I land, because it's in me.
Absolutely. And not just activate your brilliance. In my mind, it's going to elevate your brilliance. And
absolutely.
What I have learned, and I often say this, I guess the listeners are sick of me defining myself at the end of the toilet paper roll in terms of seasons of life. But what I realized is the peace that comes as a result of over and over reinventing and understanding that betrayal is only for a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And depression doesn't have to be longer than necessary. and we have choices, and that's what I was trying to get to on the introduction of our talk today. We can decide to be the woman that leads a life like you, or we can decide that's too much work. The bottom line, it rests with us. And I maintain that because we came here with everything we need, we just got to open up and say, hey, what do I need today? Let me reach in there. Okay, we're ready. Let's go forward. And I love to live a life like that. But I have to admit, I wasn't always like this. You know, I've been in a dark black hole. I've been clinically depressed. I've been a lot of things. But I saw them as lessons, and I cannot leave this earth without telling people it's okay. You can do it too. You're going to be all right. You know?
Absolutely. And I too so know those dark, you know, deep places where you think, oh my goodness, there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized for myself But in those moments, I'm often living my life by default. And what I mean by default is life is happening to me, and I'm taking no no responsibility for my reactions, right? And so I'm going along, and I'm totally in what I call suffering, right? It's all about Suzanne, and I'm totally in suffering. Things are happening to me.
Yes.
Realizing that if I were to to take some responsibility and to be a cause and make choices and take responsibility for my choices, things now begin to happen through me. And there's a big difference.
Yes, there and is.
There's a huge difference. So really, you know, I always ask, I always talk about living your life by default or living your life by your design. And I think we are all here to design our life. You know, if you think of someone who has faith or looks for those small miracles, and I always remind myself that no matter what you're looking through, if you're thinking of from a biblical perspective, every time before a miracle happens, there's action required before.
Yes.
Right? There's a participation, there's an activeness. And so for me, you know, they say that luck is when opportunity meets preparation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so the miracle is when opportunity meets preparation in my mind. In other words, I am actively working on myself so that I become the person that can see and receive the miracle, the opportunity, when it falls into my lap. Right.
I have to tell you this. Well, what I have to do is take a break. But this is, you know, this is getting so good. Let me take the break and then come back. How's that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay,
hold on. Now that I've been a good girl, we can go back to the really good stuff we're talking about. I don't want to be remiss and get back to when you start out. You talked about an integrated approach. And you also have written a book, Leading with Character, which to me has an integrated approach to success. And I was hoping maybe you'd spend just a few minutes talking about what motivated you to write it, how you put it together. Just talk to us. I love the way you talk and what you say.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So Leading with Character is truly written out of my own journey from life being totally upside down to having a deep desire to be the person who could flip her life back right side up, but also to be an example, right? And so, you know, it was at the end of my time in social services, and I found myself physically exhausted, underweight, and just so low. And when I say physically exhausted, I tell you it wouldn't matter how much I slept. I never, ever woke up feeling rested. And I remember being at work one day and having to climb a flight of stairs, four stairs to be exact, and not having the energy to move my body up four flights of stairs, being the manager and responsible for about 30 crisis workers, and feeling like I was in crisis. And really, I will say to you that, you know, if you looked at me the wrong way, I wasn't sure if I'd yell or cry. That's how emotionally spent I was. At home, I'm in a marriage that's falling apart. We are $50,000 upside down in credit card debt. Three boys, all at the beginning of high school, middle of high school, end of high school. And all I could think is college. And cost. We are juggling credit cards. And I would go to bed and just suffer in silence. I would go to bed and cry. I would go to bed totally wound up and stressed. And really just like, how could this be my life? And I remember feeling both angry, ashamed, frustrated, because in my mind, I thought I'd done it right. I have 7 years of post-secondary education. I did what my mom asked. I came here, got my education, went to work in my field, climbed the proverbial corporate ladder, was at the top of my game, theoretically had a great job, and I was still financially upside down. And it was my secret, because it was my secret shame, because I was thinking as I looked out onto the world, everybody else was doing better than me. which wasn't true, but that was my perspective at the time, because when you don't share your circumstances, you don't actually know what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I got a call from a friend who introduced me to network marketing, and my life began to change. But what was really interesting was, as my life began to change, I had to take a real inventory of where I was. And although I had what you would call good habits, mm-hmm. I didn't have the level of habits and personal mastery that would have me create the success I want, or have me be a leader or someone that would inspire people to follow them. And the sobering thing was, I had been managing teams and thought, for sure, I have great leadership skills. Right. But what I recognized was, I had some great leadership skills, but I actually had really good management skills.
Ah.
Big difference.
Yes, so big
management,
difference.
Management is telling people what to do, mm-hmm. and them doing it. And often them doing it because we have this thing that's called leverage, which is called a paycheck, mm-hmm. which is attached to behaviors. And people have this fear that if they don't do what they're asked, they'll lose their check. So yes, oftentimes if you're nice and you're creative, you can move people along. But the question became, are they truly moving because they're inspired by you, or are they moving because you have leverage, power of title, power of position, all those wonderful things?
Mm-hmm.
But when I got into network marketing and direct sales, I don't have that power. I don't have a title. I have a dream. I have a vision. And so success depended on me being able to model for people and inspire them to follow me and become that leader that ignites people and can cast a vision, mm-hmm. and have them want to be and become something different and actually model what I was doing. And that was my realization, that although I had good habits and I had good skills, mm-hmm. I didn't have great habits. I was very confronted by who I was in the world, and really aware that I had given away a lot of my responsibility that would actually allow me to, one, find my brilliance, step into it, and create the success I truly believed I deserved. So the book is really about me, one, embodying the habits, mm-hmm. that would have me win, mm-hmm. but two, also, and just being really candid, was really beginning to get past my own conversation about race, mm-hmm. about being a woman, mm-hmm. and all those issues that have us sometimes feel marginalized, right?
Yes.
And when we feel marginalized, we often feel that we have less access than other people. There's less possibility than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, beginning to realize that the way that I can cope with that belief of marginalization, so the impact of racism, the impact of being a woman, the impact of all the things that had me feel like I had less access, mm-hmm. was to develop a high level of mastery. Because one of the things I learned early on in life, and I actually learned it through running track, mm-hmm. is if you're exemplary at something, if you are highly effective at something, whether you are a woman, whether you are Black, whether you are whatever it is, it doesn't matter anymore.
Mm.
Right? Because when you and I become exceptional, mm. exceptional trumps many things.
Mm. I like
and
that.
So how I've learned to navigate and negotiate all the barriers to access is to have a level of mastery that puts me in a class that's different from the average person. And I think most of us have average habits.
Mm.
People who are highly successful have exceptional habits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of my mentors says, you know, where average people hang out is really crowded. But where exceptional people hang out, it's like there's very few. Mm-hmm. And if you strive to be exceptional versus average, it's way less crowded. There's way less opportunity because less people play in that area. When I began to understand that, I was like, wow, I'm going to create a level of mastery,
mm-hmm.
that distinguishes me.
Mm.
And it's a daily journey. It's a daily endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
So the book is based on identifying habits and ways of being that one I could step into. One of the really interesting things was not only to identify them, but to actually make them actionable. And what I mean by actionable is, well, let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
If I say the word Apple to you, what comes into your brain? What do you see?
My iPhone.
Okay, cool. But you see something clear.
Uh-huh.
Could you also see a red apple?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Easily.
So there's a very clear picture.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? There, and we know exactly what it looks like. Mm-hmm. If I say chair, you have a picture. A picture comes into your mind. Boom, chair.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we think four legs, something to sit on, a back maybe. So we have a clear picture.
Mm-hmm.
If I say the word integrity to you, what comes to your mind?
Oh yeah, that's more difficult.
It's more difficult. So what I began to realize is if my mind doesn't have a picture of what it takes to be integrity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not clear, then I can't embody or own it.
Okay, I'm with you.
So for me, what I began to do was I began to ask myself the question, well, if I wanted to be a person of integrity, what would that actually look like? What would be the behaviors? What would be the way of being?
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to be someone who was powerful, what does that look like? Because there's a difference between power versus force.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, so what's it mean to be a powerful person? So I had to clearly define it. If I wanted to be someone who had initiative, what behaviors would someone who had initiative actually do? If I wanted to be someone who was solution focused,
mm-hmm.
what would that look like in my world, in my day-to-day world?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I'm going to start defining these in ways where I got very clear on what that habit would look like and what values went with that and what the behavior would be day in, day out.
What, Suzanne, is your definition for you alone? What would integrity look like for Suzanne?
Okay.
Is that
so
what
integrity,
you're... Is, no, what I'm asking, is that what you're saying? Okay.
Absolutely. And so the definition's a little different for each person.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get to.
So I recommend that people use my definition as their starting place,
okay.
And they might possibly add to it. So integrity for Suzanne means I'm going to be my word.
Okay.
Like if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And if I'm not able, mm-hmm. I'm going to clean it up. That means I'm going to call you and we're going to clean it up and I'm going to restore integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I also realize that integrity isn't something that you have. But just because you say I'm a person of integrity, you don't always have it. So I defined it as every day when I wake up, I have zero integrity.
I recreate
integrity as I do what I say I'm going to do in different areas of my life. So if I want to have integrity around my commitment to exercising,
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of getting out of bed in the morning and actually going and doing it versus thinking the bed's really warm and cozy. Right.
Now, what I'm going to have to do, Suzanne, is two things. One of them is going to break my heart, and the other might be a very good thing, which is we have a limited amount of time. But what you're saying is so valuable. I want to do two things. I want you, should someone listening want to get in touch with you, the first thing I want you to do is to tell them how to do that. The first thing I want you to do is agree to come back on the show.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's number one. See, that's done. Check. Okay. The second thing, before you read your letter, I want you to tell someone like me, how do I get in touch with you? Because this conversation is just beginning.
Absolutely. So you can email me at Suzanne@SuzanneHart.com, and it's SuzanneHart.com. So Suzanne@SuzanneHart.com. And my website is SuzanneHart.com as well.
I know.
So pretty simple.
And it's pretty exciting to explore. Okay, now I have some other loose questions. Do you think you and your mother would do a mother-daughter show for me?
Oh my goodness. I you know what? Yes, I'm
Would you
sure
ask
my
her?
mother would. I would definitely ask her. I yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
that would be very entertaining.
Well, and not only that, you know, I'm addicted to talk radio, storytelling, and that kind of thing, and I love StoryCorps, where these conversations occur, and I'm just a bystander. So, okay, that's two promises. Now, the third thing we have to do, every guest is required to read a letter to herself, and I want you to do that now. I don't want to leave the show without completing the things we started out with, okay?
Okay.
Would you do that for me?
I can absolutely do that for you.
Okay, we're ready.
So, letter to my younger self. Dear Suzanne, I want you to know you are loved, cherished, and truly blessed. I want you to know that you are perfect exactly the way you are, for you were created in God's image. Always care for yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually, because to take care of your temple is the highest expression of self-love, self-respect, and self-care. As you love and honor yourself, you will model how you expect others to treat you. Always remember you are wonderful, magnificent, and that you have greatness inside you, a greatness you do not yet know. Everything you need to have an extraordinary life already lives within you. You see, every challenge you will face and every time you find the courage to grow, you'll find another level of your brilliance. This is God's way of preparing you for a wonderful and abundant life. It is how you become the type of person who experiences all the wonders that life has to offer. Surrender. Live as if life is your personal adventure. Each day, commit to lifelong learning and find some way to inspire yourself and make your best better. God will never gift you an idea you do not have the ability to fulfill. Say yes to all opportunities that come your way. Trust your actions, failures, and wins will always reveal your next step. There's nothing you truly desire and focus on that you cannot figure out or achieve. Suzanne, respect others, but always speak your mind. Express your views because what you feel and think are important. Find your passion and live it. For when you work and create from your passion, each day is a little easier and life feels full. Learn about wealth, but never chase money. Wealth is a mindset, an energy that is created by those who commit to excellence, serve others, and risk putting their unique brilliance into the world. Open your heart and love fully, for to love is one of life's best adventures. Become the person you desire to attract into your life, and he will show up. Understand that no one person can complete you or make you happy. Happiness is a gift you must choose to give yourself before a healthy relationship is possible. The delicate balance in any relationship is to learn how to both freely give and receive, while still taking 100% responsibility for acquiring and doing the things that will bring you happiness and joy. It's to share yourself without losing yourself. The secret is to live life and love, my dear Suzanne, is to learn to fill your cup up first while generously giving from your overflow. Suzanne, as you navigate the highs and lows that make us appreciate life, know you are never alone. In your toughest moments, be still and ask for what you desire. God is always listening. Ask for what you want, but ask with an expecting heart. The answer may not always come the way you expect it, but it will always come. Finally, know you are loved by many. I love you. I cherish you, and I'm grateful for you. Stay blessed and in love with life, my young friend. I look forward to witnessing your special colors on the canvas called life. Blessings, Suzanne.
Now, I think they say in the church, when you have something like that read to you, go, amen.
And Suzanne, amen.
Thank you so, so very much for that. I'm going to ask Mr. Tony Walker on piano to take us out with our theme song and my ribbon on your doggy bag, because Suzanne has filled it up, is to know that whatever is on your mind, I am here. I am here to listen, inspire, and coach you into your courage. I am here to help you open the inaccessible areas of your heart. I'm here until your fleeting spirit decides to stay. I'm here to encourage you to accept these truths that you are worthy. You hear me? You are not alone. You are not your circumstances. Nothing that has happened to you in your life will be wasted. You have everything within you that you need to thrive. Let the child inside of you out to play. Until same time, 8 o'clock, Saturday evening, Eastern Standard Time. I can't wait. Love you.